A bunch of dive bars on this national dive bar. Here's feedback coming in. The Wheel Inn in Highland. Great burgers. Awesome place to be on St. Patty's Day. That's from Jason and Fenton. Great dive bars. The Blarney Stone in Berkeley. That's from an unnamed texter.
Been to the Blarney Stone a bunch?
J-Dub in Clarkston. Springfield Inn in Davisburg. They're always packed and great burgers, and they still have duct tape on the bench seat tables. Stivers in Chelsea for best dive bar in Michigan. That's from Nick in Ann Arbor. Drive past that all the time on 94 there. Stables Bar and Grill, Livonia, Michigan. Been a favorite of my group of friends for years. It's from an unnamed texter. Falls Dive Bar in Dearborn, Michigan. From an unnamed texter. Moose Jaw is great. Backdoor Saloon in Petoskey is great. Crump Pump Bar in the outer edges of Linwood. Is he mean back door? Or does he mean side door? Side door in Petoskey.
Side door, yeah.
He said back door. I think he means side door.
Yeah. Side door saloon.
Yep.
Been there. Ever been to Hell?
Hell, Michigan?
Yeah.
Yes, I have.
The Hell Saloon?
I was a long time ago, like 25 years ago, at least.
So like 10 years ago, see a band play.
Yeah? How was it?
It was quaint.
Yeah.
It was fine. Actually, I remember getting a burger or something. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Pontiac Lake Inn in Waterford. There's another place that's getting a little love here from an unnamed texter. The Golden Nugget in Ellsworth. Great dive bar. Then in Detroit, the Kit Kat Club in Macomb.
What do you think of when you hear Kit Kat Club?
I think it sounds like a place that was a front for the bad guys in a Batman episode.
Right? I think it was literally the name of a bar that was used in like a cartoon, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Really?
Yeah. Something like that.
Sounds like it's from the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit? What was it?
Yeah. Something like that. I feel like I need to look up Kit Kat Club reference.
What it was in pop culture, what it's referencing. What else do we have here on this National Dive Bar Day? The Torch in Flint. Epic dive bar. Great burgers, deep fried pizza rolls, and crispy onion rings. It's from an unnamed texter. Ron's/Don's is 100% a dive bar, and it's wonderful. That's from Dan and Petoskey. From an unnamed texter, my favorite dive bar is in Hazel Park. They have great bands. Chris Putt and the Broken Mustangs are playing this Sunday at 6 p.m.
What's the name of the bar?
My favorite dive bar is in Hazel Park.
They didn't say the name of the bar? No. Help brother out, man. Right?
Dive bar McNasty's in New Boston. That's from Steve. Cozy Lounge in Hazel Park is the best dive bar in Michigan. Or there's Hex Bar in the Thumb. It's all right. That's from AJ. Long-standing Carson Anderson joke that the Thumb, it's all right.
It's okay.
Visit the Thumb, you come away, and how's the Cheeseburger Festival? It's all right.
It's all right.
I was Port Austin.
It's all right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Beach is nice. It's not overrated. It's not underrated. Yep, it's just
it's rated
right there.
Hex Bar in the Thumb. AJ writes, it's all right. On the Rocks in Madison Heights on John R. It's from Jeff in Madison Heights.
Never been there.
Yep. Well, I'm a dive bar aficionado. Now, love it. 248-539-9797. Regarding the Tigers and trade possibilities, Buxton has a no trade clause and last year wanted to stay in Minnesota. No idea if that's still the case. Well, his name's out there. And I mean, my guess is he won't be traded. Every once in a while, I think teams let a name get out there just to make sure that they won't get offered some incredible trade. Remember Stephen Kwan last year with Cleveland?
Right, right.
And I'm like, there's no way Stephen Kwan's available.
Like you would give up your love for Jack Campbell.
Stephen Kwan, I can't stand playing against the guy. He's so freaking good against the Tigers.
Buxton, for future reference here, is
sign for two more years after this year at $15 million each season.
That's it.
That's it. Now, the problem with Byron Buxton is he's never healthy. Yeah, he has played, wow. So he's played 12 years in the majors.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you think he's played more than 100 games out of 12 years?
I mean, I would think over 100.
Yeah.
I would think 10, 11 times.
Out of 12 seasons.
Yeah.
It's three.
That's incredible.
It's incredible. Played 126 last year, and that's when he broke out, had the 35 home runs in the season. He's got a 904 OPS this year. He's played in 75 games. I'm a massive Byron Buxton fan. It's like, handle with kid gloves, because that's going to disintegrate in front of you.
How about this one? Do you guys think the season is different if Javi plays 75% of the games? He's the one person that could hit lefties.
I think between Baez and Torres, I think Torres is the bigger factor, but I think Javi calmed a lot of things down. You had an excellent center fielder or shortstop, whatever you wanted. Defensively, he was going to fit in and be excellent. But offensively, you know, he's limited at this point in his career. But he would have made a difference. Gleyber Torres is the guy that makes all the difference. 400 on, but he's a 395 on base percentage. And the record with him in the lineup is a winning record for the Tigers.
I mean, for a while there, I'd have to go back and look, but there was more correlation between winning and losing when Torres was out than when Skubal was out. Now, it's probably changed because Torres they got kinda hurt.
Part of that overlaps, yeah.
Huge if, but if the Tigers continue to get back in this thing, they'll be one of the hottest teams in baseball with the best pitching staff in the American League in the playoffs. Skubal, Mize, Valdez as the starters with Melton, Montero, Flaherty, Jobe, and more available weapons throughout the game. That's from an unnamed texter. So that's the thing about it, is when people talk about the if they do this, if they do that, to get themselves back in it, yeah, they're going to have to keep playing pretty damn well. And when you start playing well, it changes expectations. And the only way that they could, you know, get to a point where they would be, quote, in it would be to put together a long stretch of playing better. And they'd be one of the hottest teams in the American League for sure.
And the wild thing is that they've, over the last month and a half, they've just exploded with home runs. Like, they've destroyed the ball with home runs anyway. Their batting average is well below average. Their OPS is actually ranks 19th in all of baseball. But it's the numbers. What they've done lately has been impressive. I don't think that's sustainable to expect that to be like that. I think you can expect that from a handful of guys, maybe not a handful, maybe four guys that have proven that they're pretty solid. You know, Dingler, Green, Carpenter, and McGonigal have all proven that they're guys. But beyond that, it's sporadic. So that's where I have the concerns there. But that's where you talk about adding another bat to the lineup. If you can add another major bat to this lineup, how much better is this team? You know, do they all of a sudden go 7-3? Like, win 7 out of 10 games, win 14 out of 20 games. And if you do that, well, then quickly, you're right back. Yeah, to
you look like you're a team that can make some noise. It's why I really think that standing pat's not an option. It's buy or sell, and I'm not sure if it's more buy or more sell come trade deadline.
You know, I think, I don't know if you were in last week when I asked the question or not, but it was about this team. What do you think this team is? Are they the team that's deserving to be double digits below 500? Are they simply a 500 team? Or is this team a better than 500 team that simply had a bad month of baseball? And that's kind of where I'm at with them. I think they're better than, look, I don't think they're an outstanding team. I think they're better than 500 baseball team, but they're not. It's going to be tough for them to get there because of such an awful month of May. This is going to be one of these seasons where you go back and you look month by month, like, oh, April was okay. May was awful. June was great. July is great. August is okay. You know, September is okay, but it's that one month that's killing you.
All right. I just went over our Twitter account, and we have a local news anchor sounding off on a dive bar.
Oh, here we go.
Let's go. We'll get to that today at 116 on Carson Anderson on 97.1. On this National Dive Bar Day, we're just started giving shout-outs to the best dive bars in the state. And I was thinking this is maybe a little bit self-serving, but maybe I'm not the only one. the family vacation, you know, the cross-country trip, it's not happening this year the way it has in the past. We'll be spending
more
time.
It's not planes, trains, and automobiles?
No, not this year. And so, you know, we're
bikes and...
Dude, the whole nine, yeah.
Rollerblading.
The family adventures. Up to the time we're seeing the sunrise at the top of that mountain. Everybody get 5 minutes sleep. We got to go. We're going to be spending more time in the state, and I've become a dive bar aficionado. And I'm like, let's get some dive bar shout outs on this National Dive Bar Day. And you mentioned Arts.
Yeah.
Is it East Lansing or Lansing?
I think technically it's Lansing.
I think so too. Jason Colthorpe of Channel 4. Great call on Arts Bar Gator was the main hangout for the old WILX TV back in the day. Does that mean Stout hung out there? Did Stout hang out there?
There's no doubt that he did.
They have since done some major upgrades, and the place looks great. As for Max, haven't been since the late 90s when the floor still sloped in three different directions.
North, south, and east. What about west? Nope.
Updating our Twitter poll, which is more likely to happen in your lifetime? The U.S. men's national team wins the World Cup or the Lions win the Super Bowl? 28 minutes left to vote. It's evened out a little bit. The Lions are down to 90.3% of the vote. U.S. men's national team, 9.7.
I do want to give a shout out to Michael Brooks, who tweeted at us with this, the Kit Kat Club you'd mentioned.
Yep.
That somebody had mentioned as a dive bar. And I'm like, why is that name come familiar? I thought it was like from a cartoon. And he sent me a screenshot, or sent us a screenshot of the cartoon that it came from, where it's... It's brilliant. Kit Kat Club is written on the canopy of this entryway into the Kit Kat Club. But the Kit Kat Club is actually just a cat waiting for the mice to walk into its mouth, because it was an old cartoon from the Merry Melodies, which was the Bugs Bunny group or whatever from Warner Brothers, that they actually had Jack Benny, the old time musician, comedian guy, voice a mouse named Jack. And this was part of the scene. And I totally remember that cartoon growing up.
So it brought it all back.
I love it.
Let's get back to your phone calls. We go to Todd on a cell. You're next. Hello, Todd.
Hey, how are you doing?
What's up?
Hey. Again, I'm kind of like the money ball guy, right? I like to chart and spreadsheet and this kind of stuff. I'm not a Vegas odds dude or anything like that. But Let's say 2 years ago, right, my radar started to twitch when the Tigers started to make their run. And I was early. And I just started, you know, I can't say that I willed them to their wins, but it
yes, you did. Yes, you did, Todd. It was you.
guess what? It's happening again.
Uh-oh. Starting to twitch?
I'll try to be quiet. I won't overtalk you, fellas. I'll go as fast as I can, like speed dating here. But if you start today and you run out through the end of the Oakland series, we're going to play Oakland twice. It'll carry out to August the 2nd. That's 22 games, right? So I just did worst case. This is kind of my worst case because, we're on the mend. We're in good shape. Our bats are strong. Our pitching
strong. Sure. Worst case.
All right. And I said, if you go after the weak cheese teams, and we have some weak cheese coming at us, Oakland, Angels, Kansas City, Baltimore, Oakland again.
Handle your business. Say,
all right. Let's just take this bite-wise. Three-game series. I think KC we play four times. But nonetheless, just assume it's all three. And say, hey, can you take two out of three against these weak teams? Sure. Can you take one out of three? Take it on the nose from Phillies and the Cubs. And sometimes, look what we did to New York. We can sweep people like that even. But still, if you just look at that 333 percentage / 666 against strong team, weak team, you're going to come out 13-19 on this run. So let's say it's even a little better than this. This is my
Wait, 13-19?
13-9.
Okay, you said 19. All right, yeah.
I'm 13-9 over the next 20.
Yeah, you're running out of time quickly, Todd, so land right. The plane.
Hey, here we're going to go. We're going to actually sweep some of these guys that are weak. We're going to hold our own against the strong teams. We're going to go on a 16-6 run. We're going to be standing at exactly .500 ball come early August. Maybe I'm off a little bit. You got to go a little deeper into the
Well, that's the trade deadline. You think they'll be 500 by the trade deadline?
Basically by the trade deadline.
Yeah. The problem, and I love the way like you laid it out, there is some truth to it, but here's the problem. The Tigers have done great against the great teams and bad against the bad teams. Like, you just brought logic to a team that is completely illogical. You know? And I can't do it with this group anymore and say, oh, here come the A's, let's go. because it just they haven't been a team that's predictable in that way. I mean, I called them yesterday. I said I'd like to do a study of how confounding this team is compared to other strange teams in the history of Major League Baseball.
They're confounding.
They've got one of the best run differentials in the American League. They're one of the few teams that are plus. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that are plus in run differential. The Tigers are fifth in the American League in run differential. And they are third from last in the American League in record.
I think analytically, this is my guess because you know I'm not a big analytics fan, but I'm guessing that analytically, this team would project to be one of those teams that deserve to win more games than they have.
Yep, sure.
You know, they can do that with the hard hit ball rate, whatever. Hey, he's only hitting 220, but the numbers are showing at some point it's going to turn around because he's hitting the ball hard, just some bad luck. I feel like that's what the Tigers have gone through because how many games have they lost late? A ton, more than any other team in baseball. So, you know, if you're able to save 7 of those instead of losing all of those, well, all of a sudden, this team is right around 500, and we're talking about a team that's in the playoff hunt instead of being 5 games out of the wild card. So it's a team that can definitely has played better than what their record is, but the record is what the record is. We're past the halfway mark.
Let's go ahead and
make it up now.
Doc in St. Clair Shores, what's up, Doc?
Instead of losing,
hey, how you doing?
Good. Keep your radio down.
Okay, it's off.
Good. Thank you. We're talking.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a favor to Dive Bar. It's East Point Pub in East Point, Michigan on Nine Mile Road. It's got great prices, great food, friendly bartenders, and generous pour.
Everyone likes the generous pour.
Generous pour is a great thing for a dive bar to have.
I feel like I expect absolutely. That from a dive bar.
Yeah, if you're going to go into a dive bar, you wanted something a little bit more, and that would definitely qualify. Thank you, Doc. Let's go to Luca to sell your next. Hi, Luke.
Hey, Doug. Hey, Gator, what's up?
What's up, Duke?
Hey, listen, I was a correction officer in Muskegon for 5 years back in the early 90s. And every 2 weeks we get paid, you know, paper check, and we go to the Doghouse Saloon. Now, the owner there, the big fat guy, looked like Wilford Brimley with a cigar and grizzled face. He charged $5 to cash our checks. And we spend, you know, a lot of money there drinking beer, eating burgers and whatnot. It was a blast. So the Doghouse Saloon in Muskegon off Laketon Avenue. And then another one is the Bloated Goat Saloon in Fowlerville. I went there over 30 years ago, and I find out they're still in business. And good burgers, good beer, and a bunch of good times at the Bloated Goat in Fowlerville.
So, Bloated Goat. First of all, great name. Secondly, you said the Doghouse Saloon is where all the corrections officers hung out?
Yeah, every 2 weeks we'd get paid. We'd line up at the front desk. And back then, it was a paper check.
Yeah.
And most of us headed over to the Doghouse Saloon. And the guy would charge us $5 to cash our checks.
Yep, got that.
Which
cool.
were anywhere from $700 to $1,000. So the guy had money. But he'd sit at the end of the bar with a shotgun next to next to himself.
Really?
But that was...
A shotgun?
Hey, because, things go down, man.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of corrections officers in the bar. Things should be okay. National Dive Bar Day, 248-539-9797. Matt is next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Matt?
What's up? For Tigers, you guys know what honey potting is?
No.
Okay, honey potting is making something unattractive look attractive.
Okay.
And that's what the Tigers are doing. They're honey potting the fans. Right? You know, they're winning these games. But they're trying not to show how ugly they really are. I'm not buying in because, for me, unless they have a chance to win the World Series, which they don't, they should be sellers. Get rid of Scooble, Carpenter, Torres, Mize.
Okay.
To help this team.
Matt, I think as it stands right now, I don't know if many people would disagree with you. What if they do go on a run and they get to the trade deadline and they still have the same roster and have a chance to buy and increase their chances to at least get out of this American League?
and go into the first round of the playoffs and get bounced? No, I'm good.
No.
Well, the last 2 years, we thought they're going to get to the first round and get bounced, and they've won those rounds and gone to the second round and pushed teams to the final game.
If this team adds, and I guess it depends, a big addition, what it would the addition be, you think even if they add, they'll get bounced in the first round?
They'll either get bounced in the first or second round. I do not see them going to the World Series. So, short of going to the World Series, no, don't buy, sell. And then use what you get then to bolster the team for the next season.
I think it's so easy to say that about a team that is third from the bottom in the American League. That's 10 games under, because we're talking about a total hypothetical. And the total hypothetical is the play that they've had through June and into July here, they keep it up, and now they're at the trade deadline, and they're 3 games under 500.
Well, I wish I'd asked them.
I don't think it's mathematically possible. My bad.
I just thought of a question I wanted to ask the previous caller. No, I just thought of it after we hung up on him, which is, do you know what it means to be a seller? Like, when you say sell, what are you talking about?
He said sell everybody.
Right. But, okay, so sell everything. So you want to sell Casey Mize? In addition to Tarek Skubal, are you selling? I mean, who's part of your core that you're not selling? Like, who's untouchable on this team? And are you going to say nobody's untouchable? What are you going to do? Start all over? This team isn't that far away.
They don't feel like it. They feel like they should be closer than this. If you just move Skubal and Torres for a really good return, okay? And I want the audience to understand, we know we're talking about two completely divergent paths, one where you go for it and one where you sell. But they should be talking about both of those things to be preparing for what's going to happen next. And you get a decent return with talent that might not be major league ready, but could be by 2027. We're not talking about a full-scale rebuild here.
No.
By any stretch. Now, it's important they bring Mize back. If they're trading Skubal, I can't emphasize enough, this is a massive priority to me, is bringing back Casey Mize. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. I mean, the issue I take with the previous caller is his mind's made up, and that's fine. Is a fan, he can do whatever he wants. If he were running the team, I think that would be foolish. If he were running the team. He's not running the team, but if you got to be able to prepare for all things if you're running a team. And, you know, I think that if you, the part of the thing that people can't envision is, I think they think they're going to keep losing but get back in this thing. Right? What you have to do is win, play much better, and live up to an expectation this team had going into this year to even get back in it. Once you do that, the only way to get back into it is to play consistent, good baseball and look different than you have looked.
I think that's an area where people are forgetting what that means.
Yep. That's my point.
Yeah. 100%. I agree with you. If this team gets themselves into the playoffs, they're playing great baseball,
mm-hmm.
which is the exact opposite of what they were last year going into the playoffs. Yep. They were playing horrible baseball, but 2 years ago, they were playing great baseball. So, and apparently neither season mattered what they did in the second half. When it came to the playoffs, they had the same result, get to the second round and lose in game five. But I like this pitching staff a lot. The starting pitching staff. I like it a lot. And those first two series, you don't need to have your entire staff ready to go. You just need to have a couple starters. Particularly in round two, and you're getting to five games. I like this starting staff in a five-game series better than I did last year. Although, if you do it this year, if you get into the playoffs this year, I don't know if you're going to have Tarek Skubal. I still think you're going to trade him no matter what. But you can still make the playoffs.
So with that said, you know, that I still think there's some merit to what he says, that they really haven't strengthened their case for the American League over a year ago, and it would be nice if they were going to go for it to add something. Look, do nothing or add, I'm adding. And by do nothing, I mean, if you can't sell, I don't know how safe the assumption is. I suspect they'll get a good offer for Scooble, but I don't think it's a given that they will get an offer that makes you say, yes, you have to take that trade. It's that good. I hope they do. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Paul in Grand Rapids. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How we doing?
Good. I just don't agree with that last caller because if it wasn't for Kenley Jansen and Will Vest, you know, I think they blew like 8 to 10 games between the two of them, right? Mm-hmm. Take them out of the equation, we're 5 games over .500. That's 10 games right there. And on top of it, what does this guy want to, like, sell everybody and start over? No. If we trade Scooble, we can retool this team and not enter a full rebuild. And then, like you guys have been saying all day, we can buy and we can sell and retool this thing, because I really do think this starting rotation is good enough without Scooble, especially when Job comes back. And trade for a right-handed bat, you know, hopefully you get a right-handed bat back in the Scooble trade, you know, knock on wood, and then a couple of bullpen arms. And then we can make a run. But I don't think this team is nearly as bad as their record indicates. And even AJ, when he was on with Costa and Jansen the other day, he's got players and managers coming up to him like, dude, what happened? Like, I know you guys aren't this bad. So,
well,
you know, we're not, Gator, we're not that far away. I agree with you, man. We're really not that far away. And it would just be nonsense to enter a full rebuild.
I'd really like to see them get a bat. Would be great. I mean, I still think the top priority is a bullpen arm. If you can get a closer, it'd be amazing, because I don't have any confidence in the Tigers bullpen right now to close out a game. And maybe that gets fixed by moving a starter into that role, or maybe you go with this idea that Kader Montero can close out the last three innings of a game every few games. But I do think a bat is something that's essential. If you want to take the run, if you want to make a run at it, they're going to have to add a bat in addition to adding bullpen arm.
248-539-9797. Tom and Ipsy. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Oh, I just want to make a shout-out for National Dive Bar Day.
Yeah.
Alley Bar in Ann Arbor. It was the first place that I ever heard of or had a beer and a bump. Have you ever heard of that?
No. I have my suspicions of what it is.
Yeah, well, what's a beer and a bump?
Yeah, right? No, it was a $5 special for a can of PBR and Well bourbon. A shot of Well bourbon on the side.
For $5?
Yes, but it was just the name that, of course, got everyone to buy it.
Yeah, sure. You ever been to the
Allen? I've not ever been there, Tom. I might need to check it out.
It's a small little spot off of Main Street, I believe, on Liberty.
Yep. I've seen it. I've walked past it, but I've never turned in. National Dive Bar Day. What's the best? 248-539-9797. Tons of feedback coming in here. Detroit Tigers, as of today, are one of the bottom five teams in all of baseball this year. They lack hitting. They're an average fielding team. They have no bullpen. And I don't know how anybody watching this team could possibly think they have any chance whatsoever of getting into the playoffs the way they are currently configured. That's from an unnamed texter. Well, it's because they've gone from 16 games under to 10 under. It's because they had high expectations coming into the year. It's because they're starting pitching. The rotation's one of the best in baseball. It's because they've got three hitters that have been named American League All-Stars. By not fan voting, by the way. None of them are fan voted, correct?
No.
Which I think makes them more credible All-Stars. So there's a lot about this team to like. The way they have played, which some of it was correlated with injuries, some of it was correlated with a bad, terrible stretch by some of their players, some of it was correlated, brought on rather, by A.J. Hinch. But, you know, I mean, look, it at least make the decision easy, because the way you're talking about it, the way this person sends this text in, their recent stretch of good play will end shortly. Next text, is even remotely possible Tigers make a deal with Scooble, and should they, if so? Is even remotely possible Tigers make a deal with Scooble, and should they, if so? Do you mean sign him? Or is he talking about trade him? See, when he says make a deal, I think he might mean
sign. Did he say with or for? Or well,
make a deal with Scooble, and should they if so?
Let's address it both ways.
Okay.
Do I think they're going to sign, any remote chance they're going to sign Tarik Skubal? No, I don't.
I think I've said this for months. The only thing that can save him is his fear over the new collective bargaining agreement, having some cost certainty in place, whether it be, I don't know, something that would make it so he can't just go to the highest bidder with no restrictions.
Do I think that he will be moved, or do you think that he will be moved? My answer is yes. I think he's going to be traded.
I have a slight leaning towards yes still, even though I'm not as sold as you are on him getting moved. Please, Scooble should be gone by the weekend. Only add if we make significant progress by the trade deadline. Well, how are they going to do that if they trade Scooble by the weekend? Like, it sounds good when you write it out, but let's think about it. You want Scooble gone by the weekend, and then you write, only add if we make significant progress by the trade deadline. I mean, I suppose you could trade Scooble and keep winning.
I think that's possible.
I don't know. I'm not as convinced. I think you trade your best player and the best starting pitcher in the game, chances are you're going to take a hit.
That's logical, right? But the way that these guys are pitching, the starting guys are pitching, it's incredible. And then do you take, if you were to move Scooble, then that moves Montero back into the rotation, and you feel pretty good about that rotation. Is it better with Scooble? 100% it's better with Scooble, but it's doable without him.
It's amazing how different people are seeing this team. Zach from St. Clair writes in, buy and ride these guys. The same team as last year, same guys. Some will get healthy. They'll get Glaber back. This could be a really good team again. Another one here. Huge if. Oh, no, I already read that one. Sorry. 248-539-9797.
Keep in mind, the Tigers have played, what, four games since Scooble's been back? They lost three of them.
Yep. Trade Scooble. Get some good bullpen pieces. Cater takes the empty spot in the rotation. Okay. If Cater continues to pitch well, and you trade Scooble for some prospects and a really helpful bullpen arm. I don't know. I mean, look, I don't think I need to explain why trading Scooble might hurt their chances. there'll be some good pieces left, and that's why trading Scooble, you know, can be part of a retool, not a full scale rebuild. Detroit was 28-37 in the second half of the season last year, and they're 10 games under 500. This is not a good, very good baseball team, and you should sell. You do not have good players. This is not a very good baseball team. You should sell. You do not have good players. Who's going to want to buy the players then?
Well, I mean, I think he's just talking about selling Scooble. And what else do you have to sell? You actually have quite a bit to sell if you wanted to go that route. I don't want them to go full sell mode, because there's no point in going full sell with it.
Well, that's full sell mode.
You're telling yourself you need to start all over, and they don't have to start all over. This is a team that they've got ownership that's willing to spend in the offseason. Okay, maybe they're not going to be able to spend as much to get Scooble back here, but they've shown the effort to try to get Bregman. They paid big money to get Valdez. They paid reasonable money to try to add with Justin Verlander. You know, some of the stuff hasn't worked out, but it doesn't mean they haven't spent money on these players. So I think they will continue to spend money, particularly with money coming off the books this offseason for a number of players. I'm not sure I agree with that at all.
Here's the one thing is that the reason we talk about two different divergent paths, because this really could go different directions. They could stay hot, get back in it, and rethink things. Or they could stay 10 games under, drop further under, and then it becomes more obvious.
Then it becomes moot.
Carson Anderson, 97.1. This is, at this hour, some really interesting news on the Red Wing front. Helaine St. James has tweeted out the following. In 2+ months since requesting a trade from Red Wings, Dylan Larkin has not expanded his list. He has a no trade clause. He has not expanded his list from Florida, Minnesota, and Vegas. No offers from those teams have intrigued the Wings. They want value now players for a one center with a favorable contract. She is reporting that anybody who is suggesting that he has expanded his list is wrong. He has not expanded his list.
It's interesting.
Gator, I'm at 60% that Dylan Larkin will be back as a Red Wing. I'm telling you,
You're at 60? So Ryan Hanna, who works with the Winged Wheel podcast, which is a pretty great podcast to watch regarding hockey stuff, responded to Helene St. James's tweet, and he said, if Larkin hasn't expanded his list, and it's no surprise the process hasn't moved along, and the current sentiment from Detroit is, see you at camp. Larkin expanding his list, teams reconsidering their offers, or a three-team deal are the only things that will get this going. He has to expand the list. Maybe just wants to kick back, enjoy summer for a little bit before he says, yeah, okay, here we go. Because I think Yzerman's stance, the more we look at this, it was the right stance to take. It may be just a giant bluff.
By Yzerman or by Larkin?
By both, actually. But Yzerman's the one that has spoken publicly. Larkin hasn't said anything. You know, but Yzerman had to speak because of, you know, cameras and microphones around him during the draft. He had to say something. And what he said, well, he's signed for 5 more years. So kind of pushing it along. If you want something done, obviously nothing's happened to this point. We're past the draft. So teams that had any kind of draft capital in this previous draft, it's gone. So that may have been the only thing that they had going for them for a couple of these teams. So you're going to have to expand that list.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, this is, the list is, you used the term cute early in the process.
Precious.
Yeah, whatever it was. The list itself is the problem here. And, when you negotiate and you sign a contract and you got a no trade clause, you can say whatever you want. You can demand whatever you want in terms of where you're going to be traded. But that list is the biggest impediment to him getting what he wants.
I really think Florida could get a deal done if they wanted to.
I don't think so anymore.
I still think they can. Because they'd have to do something that they didn't want to do with Tkachuk, and that was trade Lundin. But they can, because they wouldn't trade him for Tkachuk because they're different positions. They need a center. They don't want to lose a center. Adding Dylan Larkin as your center is better than Lundin, right?
I mean, I guess Minnesota could get it done if they were going to move Boldy, but those things, they've said they're not going to do it.
Well, they wouldn't do it for the other player. Would they do it for this player? Because he's replacing him and he's better.
I don't know.
And he's better long-term
because he's only
8.75 a year.
Given what Helene St. James just reported, I think it's pretty clear that A, they wouldn't do it, or B, the Red Wings weren't interested. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Tim in Berkeley. You're next. Hello, Tim.
I'm sorry. I keep saying Lundell. My bad. Anton Lundell.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Tim?
Just talking about the Tigers, I'm a big Scooble fan, but I think this is maybe an opportunity that comes along for teams that are trying to improve and get better and win a championship. And I just think most people agree they should take advantage of it, hopefully get a position player. You know, they've got 3 all-stars in their starting lineup, right? So they're in a position, I believe, where if they can pick up a player, then, you know, they can continue building. I totally agree. They're not a dump and rebuild from scratch because they're pitching, and to talk about Scooble's pitching, what is he, 1-8 or 2-8? So his only major impact this year to date is in the loss column. So I think, you know, they're winning and doing what they're doing without him being super successful at the level we would expect.
Well,
so I would just, you know, I hate to see him go, but in another case, I think it could help the team long term.
I mean, you got to remember, he's still a guy that if you need to win a game, he's who you want starting. The record is what it is. The team, you know, hadn't supported him, and, you know, he's been a victim of lack of run support at times. But, I mean, come on. If any team in baseball wants a starter to win a game on a Tuesday night, who do you want it to be?
Of course, and I agree with you totally, but I just feel like it's the position the Tigers are in. They're probably not going to cough up the money to sign him. That's kind of agreed upon by everybody. So what do you do at this point? I think you have to be planning to make a trade. You can't wait till the trade deadline.
Well, yeah, sure.
You shouldn't probably.
I mean, look, we're all talking as if we're Scott Harris, okay? And if you're Scott Harris, it's like you're planning for Armageddon and you're planning for going for it. Like you're planning for two completely different things. Now, you make the argument that you wouldn't, if you trade Scuba, you can still kind of go for it, which was interesting in that I think Howie Lee is a pivotal player here leading up to the trade deadline. Because I feel like they're more likely to trade Gleyber Torres than they are to trade Tarek Skubal.
Well, Torres has to be healthy.
That's true.
He's got to show that he can play.
The reason I say that is I think they'll be more inclined to move him. I think they will get more offers for a second baseman. Maybe not more offers. I think they'll get some more reasonable offers.
I mean, I think he's got some pretty good value. I don't know if he's going to get, I mean, you'll get more from Skubal than you would for Torres, for sure. But
I could be wrong on this, I might rescind the way I worded that. I just think Torres is a prime trade candidate, and I think there'll be okay, if Howie Lee keeps hitting, you know, we'll ride Howie Lee and hope that he can keep it up. He'd have to do it for another month here.
Yeah, I think there's no question if Gleyber Torres is healthy that he's a trade candidate. Mm-hmm. I think without question, he's a trade candidate if he's healthy, but yep. He isn't playing yet. Now, I haven't seen an injury update lately on him. If they expect him back after the All-Star break, I don't know, but we're running out of time for him because there's only 22 games left before the trade deadline.
Yep.
So there's 3.5 weeks before that happens.
And maybe Howie Lee isn't part of the calculation at all, but to me, he would be.
Well, I mean, it's how Yuli or is by that point, do they feel comfortable and confident that Max Anderson's ready?
Well, that's the thing about it is, holy cow, they got two young possibilities that could play the position. I haven't seen Max Anderson lately. Have you got any updates, Mr. Mike?
He's playing well.
He's still doing it, huh?
Yeah.
Is he, and he's getting more walks.
Yes.
Because that was earlier in the year to his hitting, and people like, why aren't they calling him up? And the answer was, he never walks. He literally had like one walk in the first 50 games.
Yeah, right now he's played 50 games total. He's got 14 walks. So his on-base percentage
is played 50 games?
Yeah, he was hurt for a while.
Okay.
So 356 on-base percentage, but he's hitting .309. His OPS is up to .868. You know, he doesn't strike out much. He struck out 29 times in the 50 games, which is why you want him to walk more. And to his credit, he has walked. It's 14. It's not a ton, but it's way more than what it was.
Got to trade Skubal. Their chance to go all in was last year. They didn't. That's from Drew. Well, I mean, I'm going to let the next month play itself out. I think that's okay. I don't think that's hot take. Watch the games. Consider the results.
Oh, look at
make
that.
Make a decision.
Who knew?
Hot take. All right. Welcome Enrico Beard. You got about 10 seconds.
Got caught up watching this game, talking World Cup. Big disappointment last night.
Yes, it was. And yeah, this game being a 2-2 Egypt-Argentina game right now. It's Carson Anderson. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect. 97.1.